Turning now to the Word of God, we find our scripture reading in Luke chapter 2 and verse 21 through 39. Luke 2 verse 21, "And when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of the child, his name was called Jesus, which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb. When the days of her purification according to the law of Moses were accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male that openeth the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to that which is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or 2 young pigeons. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace, according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles, and the glory of thy people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. And Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary his mother, Behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. Yea, a sword shall pierce through thine own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. And there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was of a great age, and had lived with her husband 7 years from her virginity. And she was a widow of about 84 years, which departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. And she, coming in that instant, gave thanks likewise unto the Lord, and spake of him to all them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. And when they had performed all things according to the law of the Lord, they returned into Galilee, to their own city, Nazareth." Thus far the reading of God's holy word. May he bless his truth to our hearts and lives. Dear congregation, what are you looking for? I mean, truly, in your soul, you wake up each day and you look out over this world. Are you looking for something? And if so, what are you looking for? Many people are looking for happiness, for a good life, for a healthy bank account, for the honor and praise of people around them. How about you? What are you looking for? You do well if you look for that which Anna, in our text passage, looked for, and others together with her. Because if you look for that, the scriptures make clear where and how it is that you can find what you're looking for. And this is in the words of our text in Luke 2, verse 36, 37, and 38. "And there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was of a great age and had lived with an husband 7 years from her virginity. She was a widow of about 84 years, which departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. And she, coming in that instant, gave thanks likewise unto the Lord and spake of him to all them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem." Thus far the words of our text. Our theme, looking to the Lord, is looking for redemption. We'll see, first of all, Anna's life. Secondly, Anna's witness. And thirdly, Anna's God. Looking for redemption. Anna's life, Anna's witness, and Anna's God. Well, children and young people, the story of Anna is a brief one in the Scriptures. The Holy Spirit has seen fit to write 3 verses in sacred Scripture concerning one Anna. And that's the first thing we want to see about Anna, is she is called in the Bible one Anna. And that is the Bible's way of saying someone by the name of Anna. She was not married to anyone famous. She was not the daughter of a priest. There were probably many Annas in Jerusalem and certainly throughout Israel at this time. And this was just one Anna. She was an ordinary woman. An ordinary person on the stage of human history. And were it not that the Holy Spirit saw fit to write her name in the pages of the Bible, none would have known her. She would have come and gone, and her place would know her no more. And that's just like you and like me. In the world's history books, none of us will be mentioned. And the world, for the most part, does not know us. One Anna. Very ordinary person like all of us, like you and like me, and yet known by the Lord. The Lord knew Anna. The Lord saw her. Of her, as well as for all of us here today, we read in the Scriptures that in His book are all our members written. The Lord knows our down sitting and our uprising. And the Lord is pleased to use not many noble, not many wise, not many mighty, but often and usually very ordinary people. Just like here in the Scriptures, one Anna. But secondly, I want us to notice that Anna had a very unlikely background in many ways. She came from the tribe of Asher. She was the daughter of a man whose we don't otherwise know, Phanuel. But Asher we know. And Asher, young people and children, was one of the northern tribes at the very northern part of Israel. And the name Asher means happy or blessed. And Asher was a tribe that for the most part looked for happiness in all the wrong places. In idols. In trade. It was a tribe famous for merchants and for trade. But Asher feared idols. And Asher went into exile. It was one of the 10 tribes that was carried off early into exile. And for the most part, never heard from again. We don't read in the New Testament of anyone else from the tribe of Asher except for Anna. And she was left. And she is found here in Jerusalem. And she, from the context, we realize that she learned by grace to find happiness. Not in things, but in the Lord. And in the service of the Lord. One Anna from the tribe of Asher. And young people, do you know what Anna means? Maybe someone's name here is Anna, or your middle name is Anna. Well, it's the same name in the Bible as Hannah. In the Old Testament, it's usually Hannah. And in the New Testament, it's Anna. And it's the name for grace. So if that's your name means grace. In fact, sometimes I hear the name Hannah Grace or Anna Grace, and that's actually double. A beautiful name. Grace, grace. And her name says it all, doesn't it? Grace. God's grace. God's infinite grace. Her name was a testimony wherever she went. It's not of works, lest any should boast. By grace are you saved, the Bible says, and that not of yourself. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any should boast. And grace is what each of us needs to be truly happy. So we've seen one Anna from the tribe of Asher. Her name means grace. And fourthly, we see that God's grace did not keep her from trials and from reproaches. God's grace did not keep her from trials and reproaches. We learn here that she was married for 7 years, but then she became a widow. Her husband was suddenly, or perhaps more slowly, taken away, and she was a widow for a long time. There are two ways to read this text. Some people think that she was now 84 years old, and she had likely been a widow for many, many years. But actually, some commentators think that she was a widow for 84 years. And if she were married at about 15, which was normal in Bible times, and she was married for 7 years, then you're about 22. And so if you're a widow for 84 years, well, you can figure it out. This woman is in her hundreds. And that's not impossible, though it's a stretch. But Luke says she was at a very high age, very advanced of age. Concerning Zechariah and Elizabeth, Luke says that they were at an advanced age, but Anna was greatly advanced. At any rate, if this woman were in her 80s or 90s or 100s, there she is. And the Lord has seen fit to give her much sorrow, much grief, at least in her circumstances, to be a widow for 84 years or so. Not only would that bring loneliness, as it does whenever you lose a dear spouse, whether as a widow or a widower, great loneliness sets in. But especially in Bible times, you would lack stability. They did not have the same means that we have today. And to be sustained, well, that was not easy in these days, especially as a widow. And yet, who carried Anna through these many years of being a widow? Well, her name said it all. Anna, grace, God's grace, had carried her through these many lonely, many difficult years. As the scriptures say regarding widows, let them stay upon their God, upon the one who calls himself the husband of the widow. And God's widows can safely trust in him. Well, Anna did that through all her affliction and through all her reproach. But then fifthly, concerning Anna, I wish us to see that she lived in Jerusalem, and the Bible says she departed not from the temple. And that probably means that most often you could find Anna, children, in the temple. She either had a little dwelling maybe in the temple complex. Some people think that widows, there was some space where widows could live in the temple complex. Or if that wasn't the case, then she lived nearby. And most days Anna would go to the temple. Why? Well, the temple was God's house. And the Lord was her husband. And so she would go to her husband's house there to commune with the Lord. She walked with him. She talked with him along life's narrow way. And the Bible tells us that they that be planted in the house of the Lord shall still bring forth fruit in old age. I ask you, are you like Anna? Do you know the secret of communion with the Lord? Has the Lord made room for that in your hearts and in your life? Maybe in a difficult path in which you lost something that was precious to you, dear to you. The Lord often does that in our lives, where he takes something away and then there's this empty hole in our heart.
and in our life and our experience. And out of that, we cry to the Lord. And the Lord may sanctify that. And He may come Himself and fill the empty place with Himself. But Anna would not leave the temple. She desired to be with her God. She was like that swallow of whom we sang, or that sparrow hath found a nest, even by thine altars, O Lord, my King and my God. And his one request was that she would dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of her life. Do you have that in your heart too? Can it be said of you, he or she departs not from the house of the Lord? Not just when it concerns church, that your pew is not empty, unless you're providentially hindered, you're just a faithful. It's not just about warming the bench and church, but that your desire is after the things of the Lord. Oh, to hear something from the Lord, some word from my God, some light upon my path. And not just in church, but also in the secret place, in your own home, that you would know this life of walking and talking with the Lord by day and also by night. Because that's what we read about Anna, sixthly here, that she hungered and thirsted after God. Where do we see that? Well, it says, with fastings and prayers, night and day, verse 37. Now, fasting, maybe we don't hear about that so much today, but fasting isn't simply that you deprive yourself of bodily food and drink. Indeed, that may be a means. Even though I'm hearing people, they fast from technology, and that's not a bad thing to do in families too, that you have certain times when all the phones go in one place and everyone leaves them alone for a half a day or maybe a whole day as able. You fast from those things too, legitimate things in and of themselves, but you turn them off in order to focus on more important things. The things of the soul. And that's what Anna did. She fasted not to deprive herself, but in order to seek God. She hungered. She thirsted for God. My soul thirsts for the living God. She was one of these people that hungered and thirsted after righteousness by day and also by night. If Anna couldn't sleep at night, she felt it to be a call from the Lord to go on her knees and to seek the good of Zion, to pray for those whose cares were hers, and she would lift them up in prayer. And she would pray for her Israel. She'd pray for her nation. She'd pray on the basis of the Word of God, whatever promises that she could remember she had heard in the temple, and she would plead them in prayer before the Lord day and night. It was like one of those watchers of Psalm 130, watching for the morning. The morning. Oh, when's the morning coming? God, she would say, redeem Israel. Redeem Israel from all her iniquities. Hannah was someone who knew what it was to live not by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God shall a man live. Do you live like that? Sadly, many people, they feed their bodies. They give no attention to their souls. How is it with your soul? You feed your soul. You could do a health exam, a physical exam on your soul. How would it be? You starved your soul, perhaps for many a year. Starved your soul when there's so much food to be had. Watch for your soul, my friend. Young people, children, older ones, whatever stage of life. I know we're busy, and that busyness only increases. Sometimes you think, well, when I get older, then I will really pay attention to my soul. My friend, that's not how it goes. Now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. Anna was occupied with her soul day and night. Day and night. Think about that. And she brought her reproaches to the Lord. You see, congregation, when we pull all of these things together, we realize something amazing. And that is so contrary to nature. The grave did not have the last word in Anna's life. The grave. In a way you might have expected that. There she buried her husband. And from that moment on, all down these many years, the grave, the grave, the grave. But the grave did not define Anna's life. God's grace. That made all the difference. That was her hope. That was her song. That was her expectation. That was what she looked for. God's marvelous grace. And of this congregation she witnessed. The Bible calls her a prophetess. There are a few women in the Bible who are called prophetesses. Deborah, Huldah, and Anna. And the four daughters of Philip, of whom you can read in Acts, prophetesses. And this doesn't mean, of course, that they occupied any formal or official office in Israel. Not at all. However, these were women who knew the Lord, who knew sweet communion with the Lord, and who were exercised in that. And they knew what it was to walk with the Lord. And as a result, they knew that sweet fellowship with the Lord. In sweet communion, Lord, with thee. The friendship of the Lord is with them that fear him. And he will show them his covenant. That was Anna. That was Anna. And people would come to her, consult with her, as they did with Deborah and with Huldah as well. She was exercised in the things of the Lord. Maybe you've known women like that. Knew the things of the Lord and could speak from out of it. They didn't have it of themselves. No. But the Lord taught them inwardly. And there's so much to learn from people like that. They don't boast in self. It's not about them at all. They don't lift themselves up on a pedestal at all. In fact, quite the opposite. Thy praise shall be in my lips continually. And so Anna would encourage the true people of God in the ways of the Lord. Malachi tells us that when they that fear the Lord speak often one with another, then the Lord writes it in a book of remembrance. Oh, what a sweet fellowship there can be among the people of God to hear his word. To look for his salvation, to look for his redemption, to speak of the Lord, not of self, not unto us, but unto thy name be the glory. And congregation, Anna's mouth was opened on one occasion, as we see in our second point, in a very special way. Anna's life, Anna's witness. Well, congregation, the temple court was a busy place on any day. Pharisees would be standing there praying. Priests would be burning incense, collecting tithes, and making sacrifices according to the appointments of the law. Musical instruments would be played in accordance with the liturgy of the day. And to enter into the temple, you would come first of all through the court of the Gentiles, which was a busy place. And especially later on, the Lord Jesus Christ would drive away all those who sold animals for sacrifice and the tables of the money changers, a busy, a loud place. That was the court of the Gentiles. And then there was secondly the court of the women. And this is where Mary and Joseph would have been on this day. And this is also the place where Anna would have been. It wasn't the central court. It was the secondary court, the court of the women, it was called. And that's where Joseph and Mary were. And why were they there? Well, they were there for two reasons. First of all, they were there to pay a ransom price of 5 shekels because the Lord Jesus was the firstborn of Mary. And he wasn't from the tribe of Levi, so he would not serve as an earthly priest. He was from the tribe of Judah. And for all the other tribes, a ransom price had to have been paid. This goes back to the book of Exodus. And so too also with the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, congregation, he was born under the law. He was born of a woman, born under the law. And he had to obey the law in all its specifics. But secondly, he was there with Mary and with Joseph to offer a sacrifice for purification. Two young turtle doves, the offering of the very poor. And these turtle doves would lose their life because of the purification that needed to take place every time a child would be born. And so there are Mary and Joseph and this little child, and then there is singing. Singing is heard in the temple court. It's the voice of an old man resounding through the whole court. What is he singing? Listen. Mine eyes have seen thy salvation, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of my people Israel. What's happening? Well, this just man, Simeon, who came by the Holy Spirit that day into the temple. He had been told he would not see death until he had seen the Lord's Christ, the one who would come to comfort Israel. And by the Spirit, he comes with anticipation, with expectation into the temple this day. And there he has his heart's desire. There in that little baby. There is the one who was to redeem Israel. And Simeon, congregation, he looks once. One look at this baby. And his heart wells up in praise to God. And he embraces this child. He holds this child and he says, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace. For mine eyes, these aged eyes of mine, they have seen thy salvation. The promise has been fulfilled. Here he is, he who was to redeem Israel from all her iniquities. And Simeon lifts up his voice with strength. Simeon is so happy. He's ready to go now. His purpose of life is finished. Imagine that. Someone put it like this. One look at the baby and he is ready to go. That's what we need. One look by faith. The Son of God in our nature. One look. One look is all we need. One look at the Savior. There's life in a look at the Savior. Have you seen the Savior by eyes of faith? Have you learned to look away from yourself? Or are you still looking in yourself, within yourself, trying to find the Savior here, inside here? Simeon embraces this Christ child and looks at it, and he knows this is all my salvation. This is it. There's a Savior meet for me. Bone of my bone. And flesh of my flesh. Someone to take my place. In the judgment of God. To do my life over again. From beginning. From conception. Through birth. All the days of my life. To do them over again. And then not only that. Not just the act of obedience, but also the passive obedience to lay down his life as a ransom for many. This is all my salvation. Simeon knows it. And he exalts the Lord. You see, congregation, this message of Simeon is a message to you and to me. Because why are you here on the earth? You're here for one purpose, and one purpose in that, and that is to glorify God and to know Him, whom to know is life eternal. That's why you're here on the earth. And if you can live all your days and never look to Christ, oh, my friend, your life is a waste. No matter what you do, no matter what you accomplish, no matter what nice of a person you are, my friend, we are here that we might know Him, whom to know is life eternal. And you can only know Him by faith. And you can only see Him with eyes of faith. And when you see Him as a needy sinner, as someone who needs this Savior, then you see in Him all happiness, all joy, all pardon, all salvation. That was Simeon. And coming in that very instant, and it comes at that very moment, that's what it says, in that very instant, there she is, this old lady, this very old lady. An old man and an old lady. There they come. God has chosen them as witnesses of His salvation. And Anna sees what's going on. And it says in our text, and she gave thanks likewise. She gave thanks likewise. In that instant, in that very moment. And literally the word there is that she concurred. She agreed with what Simeon was saying. She added her voice as a witness to what Simeon was saying. And she thanked the Lord from the bottom of her heart as well. She agreed with Simeon in everything. She knew that this was the Christ child who would come to redeem Israel from all his iniquities. She thanked the Lord. True thanksgiving is the overflow of the heart for the wonders that God has given. And the Lord calls for us to enter into His courts, enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him and bless His name, for the Lord is good and His mercy is everlasting. And Anna did that in those moments. She entered God's court with thanksgiving for this Christ child. And she agreed with Simeon. She added her voice to the mix. Coming in that instant. Immediately. Without delay. Isn't that amazing? You know, sometimes maybe some of the older people have this here too. When we grow older, things don't come as quickly to us. We wake up in the morning and it takes longer to really feel awake. Things take longer. We get slower. But not Anna. In that instant, in that very instant, she knew it. This is God's Son. This is the Savior. And her voice joins in with Simeon. In that instant, no time passes, no delay, instantaneous. Her reflexes alert, her desires were attuned. Her understanding, even at her high age, not diminished at all. She's vibrant in the things of God. Oh, to be like Anna. Oh, to be like that. To be there, ready when the Lord calls, ready when the Lord appears, ready when the Lord speaks, ready when Christ is among His people, appearing with His gifts and graces. Anna's heart is full. And you know what the heart is full of? The mouth can overflow in praise and with joy. And whereas Simeon says, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace, he wants to leave this life. He now can leave this life. He sings this song that goes down the centuries. We hear it even today. But Anna, what does she do? She rushes outside, out of the temple. She has a message. She has to visit people. She has to tell these people of what she has seen and what she has heard. And we read there that she spake of Him to all that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. She knew those people. She knew where to find them. And her old legs, reverently speaking, there they go out of the temple into the streets. This house, that house, this place. She knocks. She has a message. She wants everyone to know there is a Redeemer. At such a high age, she still has a lot to do. She could say with Paul, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. She wants people to know, despite all their shame, with all their questions and all their doubts and confusion, there is a message of hope for poor and needy souls. She could sing with Psalm 71, which we sang earlier. Now also, when I am old and gray-headed, O God, forsake me not until I have showed thy strength unto this generation and thy power to everyone that is to come. In congregation, do you know who she goes to most of all? Longing hearts. Those who are looking for redemption. Those who are hungry and thirsty, who wonder, will the Lord cast off forever? Will the Lord, in wrath, not remember His grace? She knows those people that sigh and who groan under the affliction, who are tossed with tempests and not comforted, who are looking, waiting, sighing. And she has a message for them, for those who look for redemption in Jerusalem. She must have said something like this. You know, tender soul, you long, you look for redemption in Jerusalem. The Redeemer has come to Zion. And to them that turn from iniquity in Jacob, I saw him myself. I saw him in the flesh. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And I saw his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of God, the only begotten Son of God, God in our nature, Emmanuel, the Son of God. And he will redeem Israel from all his iniquities. Notice Anna's message. She doesn't speak of herself. She doesn't tell people about her fastings and her prayers and her whole life. She doesn't even complain about her reproaches and her sorrows and her grief and how she had been a widow so long. No, there's one word. She spoke of him. She spoke of him. Which brings us to our third and final point. Anna's God. Congregation, do you know him? H-I-M. Him. Do you know him? Some here today, him is just a word. You've heard about him. You've heard about him a lot from this pulpit. You've read maybe many things about him. But do you know him in your heart? Do you need him? Why don't you need him? Why, my unconverted friend, can you go through life without him? What do you think life is? What are you looking for from life? I asked it at the beginning. What for you is life all about? What do you wake up in the morning looking for? Just another day with more opportunities to have pleasure, gain prestige, acquire more possessions? Is that what life is for you? Oh, my friend, that is death. Whatever you think that is death. Stuff. People. All the things that people live for by nature. It's empty. It's vain. And in a flash, it's all gone. And there you are, your soul. This soul of which we've been speaking. In a never-ending eternity. and you tried to fill it with stuff, what shall you do when once He appears? When you appear before Him, the judgment throne, and He asks you to give account of all that you've heard, all that you've done, all that you are, how will you stand in that great day? You won't. You will call for the mountains and for the rocks to hide you from Him that sitteth upon the throne and from the Lamb. The rocks and the hills won't listen to you. They won't hide you. There you will stand in all your sin and all your shame. And of you it can be said in that day, ye would not. My dear friend, it will be more tolerable in that day of days for Sodom and for Gomorrah than for you. Oh, my friend, how often have you not heard of this Christ? How many people have you not known who knew this Christ? How many prayers were not prayed by a godly father, godly mother, godly spouse maybe, but you would not? Oh, my friend, while He proffers peace and pardon, hear His voice today. Lest, if ye so unbelieving, ye should perish in the way. My friend, you have a soul, a never dying soul that needs a covering, that needs forgiveness, that needs peace with your Maker. A peace that endures. Not the labor of your hands. Not any works can avail for you at all. You need Him. You need this Christ. You need this child born of Mary, born in Bethlehem, to do your life over again, to accomplish all righteousness for you. You need to be clothed with His righteousness. You need His blood to avail for you. Not the blood of bullocks and goats, or even these turtle doves here in the temple. No, this child would be set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel. You need Him. You need Him who willingly walked that way of suffering all the way to the cross outside Jerusalem, where there He hung between heaven and earth. Earth saying away with Him, heaven saying there's no room for Him. Not as such. He outside, away, under the wrath of God which you deserve. My friend, unless you find a hiding place in Him, that wrath is reserved for you. That wrath is reserved for you. You need this Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. Oh, my friend, that you would start looking, you start needing, that you would be craving this redemption, that the silver and gold that you own would just fly away, that you'd realize that can't be it, that your religion, all the stuff that you try to do, that would evaporate. You'd realize that only further condemns you. He must save, and He alone. And then you begin looking for Him, crying for Him by day and by night. It matters not. When your eyes can't find sleep at night, that you lift up your voice unto God and you cry for salvation. And you say, this darkness of the night outside, Lord, it's darker in my soul. But please shine light into that soul of a sinner like me. During the day when the sun does shine, you're weighed down with a burden of sin. And you say, God, when the light of Thy all-seeing eye comes upon me in the day of days in that great white throne, in which nothing can be hid from thee. When that shines upon me, I need a refuge for my never dying soul. I need redemption. I need to be redeemed. My unconverted friend, don't you feel the chains? Do you not know that you are a bond servant? Obeying your lusts, obeying your desires. With every passing day, those chains are tightening around you. Oh, my friend, don't you ever hear them? Don't you ever feel them? Oh, my friend, those chains will drag you down unless a Redeemer comes and breaks your chains and opens the prison house of him or her that is enslaved to sin, proclaims liberty to the captives, and says, I am here, your Redeemer. Redemption is found with me. I am a mighty Redeemer. I can save to the uttermost. I've paid the price. I have found a ransom for sinners. Don't I then need to be a good person? Don't I need first to have experienced this and then that and then the other thing? Don't I need to be like Anna, praying and fasting and doing all these things? No, my friend. As a sinner, nothing more, nothing less, you hang your helpless soul on God in Jesus Christ, who proffers mercy in the gospel. And you say, hangs my helpless soul on thee. Naked come to thee for dress. Foul I to the fountain fly. Save me, Redeemer. Save me, or I die. Perhaps there's someone here who says, you know, would to God that were my portion. I look, I long, so long already. Sometimes I lose hope. It can't be for me. Other people, yes. Me, no. Oh, my friend, don't listen to that voice of the tempter. Don't listen to that voice of unbelief in your own heart. It's for the worst. It's for the vilest. It's for the chief of sinners. It's for those who have sinned so long, so deep. Provoke the Lord to his face. Return unto me, backsliding people, and I will return unto you, says the Lord. Draw nigh unto me. Look, my friend, look as a watcher for the morning. Don't give up looking, praying, seeking. Knocking, asking, oh Lord, when shall redemption come unto me? Well, look in the scriptures. Put your hand, your finger by the very promises of God and plead with the Lord. Take hold of the garment of this Redeemer as he lowers it under the preaching of the Word of God and say, save me, the sinner, save me. Or I die. So my friend, if you're looking for redemption, there's good news. It's in him. It's all in him. It's entirely in him. Maybe this is your problem, that you're looking mostly to him, but you're also looking in yourself. No, it's all of grace. Oh, to grace, how great a debtor daily I'm constrained to be. You see, congregation, Anna's name says it all. Grace. God's marvelous grace. And Anna couldn't get enough of it. Whether people rejected it or not, the world had to know there is a Redeemer for all who are bound to sin and to shame. I've seen him myself. Mine eyes have seen the salvation of the Lord. Wait no longer, poor and needy soul. He's come. His feet are upon the earth. He'll walk the way all the way to the cross. He will not despise your pleading. He has come to save wretches like yourself from the curse, from the bondage, from the guilt of sin. With his blood, he set me free. And you, his blood can avail for you as well. Well, congregation, this is Anna's God. And Anna is now with her God. Imagine that. We don't know how long she lived. Maybe a few weeks, maybe a few months, we know not. At her high age, she was called to the courts above. A day came. Oh, what a day it was. Anna, come up higher. And she who had loved the temple below, she entered into that temple above. Oh, mine eyes have seen the glory of the Lord. And she would have praised the Lord, seated upon the throne and the Lamb. And if her heart here on earth was full, how much fuller is her heart in heaven of praise for this Redeemer. And no doubt even now, she sings together with all the people of God there, washed by the blood. And they sung a new song saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for Thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by Thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. My friend, will you be there? Will you be there on that great day? Oh, yes, you'll all be there, but where will you be? Will you be on the right hand with Anna, praising the Lord for so great a salvation? Worthy, worthy is the Lamb. It's all in Him. Oh, my friend, would to God every one of you, young and old, all on the right side, for what shall it be to go lost with such a God? With such a hymn, Anna's God, Jesus Christ, to Him be all the praise. Amen. Gracious, good doing, and almighty Lord God, humble our hearts, Lord, as we have received this message from Thine own lips. We ask Thee that Thou would seal it to our never dying souls. Remember those here who look for redemption. We ask Thee that Thou wouldst fulfill their heart's requests, and that Thou wouldst make them to know God reigns forever. And His salvation is free and full, all in Christ. And that our theme might be the Redeemer, that we would make mention of Him, yea, even of His righteousness only. O Lord, grant that, that what the heart is full of, that it would overflow also out of our lips in the week that lies ahead of us. For Thou art so worthy to be feared and praised and adored by young and old alike. And remember those who do not have what they need for their never dying souls, so that they would seek it with Thee, that they would not rest until they too know and experience God is a Redeemer. To the uttermost, and that His blood avails even for a wretch like me. Oh, dismiss us then under Thy hands of blessing. Go with us into the unknown future. Save us, Lord, we pray, from ourselves. And keep us from an unprepared death, we pray. And all this we ask in the Redeemer's name and for His sake alone. Amen.